Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message. I am Teresa Levite, a member of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. Do you have your pencil and paper ready to take notes for today's message? If you don't have your pencil and paper ready now, you can listen to this message again on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. Before we begin, let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to you today to study your word, I pray, Lord, that we will learn from the example of Peter, the apostles, and the early Christians. You have blessed us with so much, and through those blessings we have much that we can give to others. We can let you bless them through us, and oh, what an honor it is to be used by you in this way. I thank you, too, for this opportunity to share your word with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Acts tells us the story of the apostles and the works and growth of the early church. The apostles were known as the disciples while Jesus was with them. They were the students, but when Jesus ascended, they then became the teachers and missionaries, the apostles. Verse 8 of the first chapter sums up the purpose or theme of this book. This is Jesus speaking. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It took us 2 weeks to cover chapter 2. There was a lot to talk about. The Holy Spirit came to the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached a pretty awesome sermon to the Jews and to the others in Jerusalem. 3,000 people were converted that day. We also learned what the early church looked like: meeting daily, sharing meals, sharing their belongings, giving to any in need. One of the amazing things we didn't really discuss is the fact that many of the Jews in Jerusalem that day came from all over the region to celebrate a festival. That means that when the festival was over, these Jews who were converted went back home and continued to spread the gospel all along the way home and in their hometowns. Today we're going to talk about chapter 3, Peter Heals a Lame Beggar. This message will be a bit shorter than usual, but that's okay. I don't want to start chapter 4 today, so we'll just go with what we have for today. And as always, I'll be reading from the New International Version today, unless otherwise noted. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. In verse 1, Peter and John were going to the temple for prayer. This is what they did daily. Though they were Christians, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, they were still Jews, and that's where they went for prayer to God the Father. This was still very shortly after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and the apostles and new followers were still figuring out what Jesus' teachings meant to them personally in their day-to-day activities. I think there are a lot of us doing the same thing, trying to figure out what it all means to us. What it doesn't mean is having to follow a lot of laws and rules. The Christian Jews at that time still had a lot of do's and don'ts to live by. It took them a while to figure out which ones were from God and which ones were from man. And it took time, and there's still debate about which ones were no longer relevant. We're still trying to figure this out. For example, Jesus came to fulfill the law and to be the sacrifice for us. Do we need to continue offering sacrificed animals to God when Jesus has paid that price once and for all? But God still has expectations from us. What will we sacrifice instead? By the way, this is a little off topic, but do you know what the definition of sacrifice is? When I heard this definition recently, it kind of threw me and I had to look it up. It wasn't exactly what I was expecting. There's the expected definition of the offering to a deity, but then there's the more common definition, and by common I don't mean abundant. I mean not religious or referring to God. A sacrifice is a loss or something you give up, usually for the sake of a better cause. This definition really got me started thinking about what I could sacrifice for the sake of a better cause. And the answer was just about anything. I mean, if it's for a better cause, why not? Thinking about it this way makes it a lot easier to let go of whatever it is I'm holding on to so I can receive whatever it is that's better that God wants to give me. And I know that as the Father, He wants to give me only the very best. Why am I still trying to hold on to second or third or fourth best? Anyway, let's get back to the lesson. Verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This may seem a little cold by our modern standards, but at that time there were no social programs for the crippled, and there wasn't the modern medicine that we enjoy, so there were probably more people who were crippled then. Not as many as you might think, though, since a lot of the people who might have been crippled would have died. Anyway, the people, the citizens, realized that it was their responsibility to support people like this, and they did give to the beggars. Well, not all, I'm sure. And there's some who had no money to give. But many gave as they could, and that's what Peter and John did that day. Verses 3 through 5. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. The beggar did get something from them, but not what he was expecting. As I read this today, I read it with a different view. In the past, as I've read this and heard sermons on this passage, it was all about what Peter and John did then. Today, I read this as what God is doing now. Not just the healing part, the part we haven't got to yet. This is how God works with us. How often do we go to God asking for something and we want God to look at us, but we aren't looking at God? I don't mean just bowing our heads or turning our eyes upward to the heavens. I mean, how often do we dig into His Word searching for Him? How much time do we spend meditating on God and work and actions and who He is, and not just what He does for us? We need to be looking at God. And then, continuing in verse 6, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.'" Now, God does have silver and gold, but He has something to give us that's more valuable than silver or gold. All we have to do is accept it. Verses 7 through 10. "Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, when you accepted God's precious gift, how did you react? Did you jump to your feet and begin praising God? If you didn't then, it's not too late. You can still praise God and tell others about the amazing gift God has given you. We'll continue with Peter Speaks to the Onlookers, verse 11 and 12. "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?'" When God does a work in us, gives us strength where we didn't have strength, gives us words to speak, gives us courage, whatever that work is, are we quick to tell others that it wasn't by our own power that these things have happened, but by God the Father, who gave us Jesus the Son to die for our sins, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Helper sent to us to help us? Too many times, as humans, we want to take credit for the good things that come to us and from us. But the reality is, without Jesus, we can do nothing. And He told us that in John chapter 15, verse 5, when He was explaining about the branches and the vines. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." As Christians, being honest with ourselves, we should be telling the world where the good things come from. And we should be thanking God for using us as a conduit for those good things to flow from God, through us, to others. I consider it an honor for God to allow me to work with Him in this way. You know, He doesn't really need me to work with Him. He could just bypass me completely, but He doesn't. And while God is blessing others through me, I'm being blessed too. Peter continued speaking and gave the listeners this background, this reference for Jesus. He wanted to make it absolutely clear who was behind the healing of the beggar. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Peter said it was by faith in the name of Jesus that the beggar was healed. I'm not sure the beggar knew who he had faith in, but he was willing to have faith and to accept the gift. And then he began to learn the rest. And that's all God expects from us. Have faith, accept the gift of life, begin to learn the rest. Peter continues talking to the people at Solomon's colonnade. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come through the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. In verse 17, at the beginning of this section, Peter said the people acted in ignorance, and we have all done that too. But it's up to us to not continue to live in ignorance. We are to read and study and listen and learn. We've heard it said of our legal system that ignorance of the law is no excuse. The same goes for living under God's grace. We have so many opportunities to learn, we can't allow ourselves to continue to act in ignorance. In verses 22 through 26, Peter quotes Moses and explains this and some of the other prophecies to the people listening. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." That last verse sums up the chapter pretty well. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. God gave his only son for us. Jesus was sent to bless us by turning us from our wicked ways. Have you accepted that blessing? Have you accepted Jesus? Are you hurting today or in need of healing? God's healing power didn't end when the New Testament ended. God still performs miracles today. It might be a physical healing, or it might be an emotional or mental healing. Do you have relationships with your family members or friends that need healing? Do you need financial healing? Educational or career healing? Healing in your home? God can and will heal if you will ask him, if you have faith, if you let him do his work in you. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is simple. You may have to work to ask for the healing you need and not just what you want. Those words don't always come easy. You may struggle with the faith to receive the healing and stumble and have to get up and ask for that faith again. You may have to step aside to let God do His work in you. And you may have to do that repeatedly. But God is good and He is faithful. And if you ask, He will not ignore you. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the healing that You have done and the healing You will do. I thank You now and I praise You now for Your goodness and mercy and grace. I praise You as the one and only God, all-knowing and all-powerful. Thank You, Lord, for the gifts You give us just when we need them in just the right way. In Jesus' most holy name I pray. Amen. If you have heard anything in this message today that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can renew your walk with Jesus and take the steps to restore your relationship with God. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our leaders. Thank you for listening to today's message. I hope this message has become part of your weekly Bible study. If there is anything in this message that speaks to you, please share this with your friends and family because they might benefit from it too. You are invited to join us each Sunday morning at Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. We are located at 1735 South Washington Street in Tilton. If you would like more information or to speak to one of our leaders, call the church office at area code 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Our Sunday school program begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service and children's church are at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.